Okay, I'd like to introduce Flip McLaughlin today, who will be our primary presenter, and we'll have some other presenters as well that I'll let Flynn introduce, but at this time I'll pass the call over to him. Dr. McLaughlin?
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Brian. It's good to be online. Let me verify that I have a full team here ready to help you today. Brian Ault, you're online. Jeremy Brookins, are you online?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay, Jeff Sellers, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, and Jalali Hartman?
Yes.
And Nick?
Yes.
Good, okay. Each of these guys can be helping us. Jeff oversees our relationships and coordinates all of that in our company, including our own affiliate program. Jeremy was very instrumental in conducting the research for the affiliate program and has insights that maybe help. Jeremy, just feel free at times if you have insights or questions that you might have an answer for that come up, jump in.
Okay.
In the meantime, I'll be telling you about Jalali and about Nick in just a little bit, and Brian, you've all talked with. He is he's an administrator that works with us, and his special interest in our group is in publishing. So with all of that being said, let's begin. And you should have your notes open. And if you read the last experiment, as I assume most of you have, you notice that we profiled two separate programs. One achieved a success ratio of 80% with sales per affiliate ranging between $100,000 and $1 million per year. The other one projected a $3.6 million per month gain and did not generate that number. Now, you'll be talking in just a little bit to both of these guys and getting a chance to ask your own questions. So as I am talking, be prepared to make some notes to yourself and to interject your questions as that time comes up. I will say this, the company B, the program that did not achieve that, has gone on to be very successful and is run by a very, very sharp group, probably the most knowledgeable group on the Internet when it comes to online auctions. And Jalali is here and will be very, very helpful as in giving us insights and the lessons that he's learned. So having said that, I guess the central question from that we've all probably have in our mind is how can we craft an affiliate program that will truly produce revenue? And we are going to answer that question with the tightest possible summary so that the busy marketer can cut to the chase, get to the results. To do that, I think there's three keys I'd like to go over with you. And I think if we understand these three keys, that we apply ourselves, we might be able to achieve results that would be helpful. So having said that, let me begin by giving you the first key point. Number one, and it may sound simple, but I have discovered that many of us really don't know the answer to this, and so I want to address it first. We need to understand how to use the latest research from the journal in our own situation. To do that, let me ask you if you will turn to link number one on your log notes. Click on that link. That'll take you into myexperiments.com. Should put you on the affiliate page. It should put you on the Retailers Lab main site if you click on that link. Link number one on your numbered link. And if you'll notice that, in your left nav is a section that says, first of all, plan your marketing, and underneath that it says promote your store. I want to click underneath promote your store on affiliate marketing tested. Affiliate marketing tested. So if you would, go ahead and click on that link. And that should bring up the current affiliate marketing report. And I want to discuss that with you for a few moments, because I think it's actually vital to understand how to use this information. I think that the danger that we have is that all of us are so very, very busy that when marketingexperiments.com sends you this incredibly long, ugly email that goes for page after page after page, many of us have the good intention of utilizing the information, but it's a bit overwhelming to actually take a hold of it, figure it out, and utilize it amidst all the intensities and busyness of our schedule. So I'd like to show you what I would suggest you can do in the future, and this will serve as a model for other reports that are coming out. Instead of that, may I point out that our next issue, perhaps our next two reports, are going to be tightly focused on email marketing. We think that you should come out of the Christmas season, if you're a retailer, with a large list of email names that you have harvested. You need to know how to use those emails in a way that will generate revenue, increase the annual value per customer, decrease your shopping rate, shopping cart abandonment ratios. And so we want to teach you, number one, the strategy for utilizing email, especially amidst all the spam laws, because we don't suggest you do anything that approaches spam or take any of those risks, and it's completely unnecessary. We want to show you the strategy, and then secondly, we want to show you how to write email copy so it will produce the greatest results. That's going to be our focus for the next probably 2 months, so 2.5 months. I think it'll be a critical part in piecing together a blueprint for you. Your marketing plan for 2004. Now, you should have the current issue in front of you, and if you'll scroll down to the first header, it says quick scan this report. I'll show you how to use that first of all. It's very simple, but it's designed to help you figure out which parts of this report are relevant to your needs. Topic lays it out. Word count gives you some idea as to how long it is. For those of you that don't know this, about 250 words equals a page. The focus, these 8 questions are really the key. You can use that to click basically on any question that is of most interest to you if you're in a hurry and draw out that information directly. QuickScan is designed to help you do just what the name implies, get a quick grasp on what this information is and how it might help you. Skip down to the preview. That's to help you know what's coming, because some of you are launching various marketing initiatives, and it's useful to know what kind of data we're going to be releasing in the future so you can plan on using or utilizing that in your blueprint. Then it gets right into the meat of the report. And a lot of people don't know the difference between Section 1 and Section 2, but in Section 1, which is what we're moving into, study the data from this test, what you really have is precisely what the name implies again, data. It's not as much how as it is what. And this is where we get interesting data that suggests for you key pieces of information that you might find useful. But we move, and that's the information that people can get who are free subscribers. What they can't get is about 5,000 words of this report, which we're going to click on right now. You go down to the bottom and you click continue. And I'm going to move rapidly through this, but if you click continue, now we're on the how to apply. This is the how section of the report. It changes the data from simply from information into some form of wisdom. At least that's the initiative. The Greeks say that they have 2 words for wisdom in Koine, ancient Greek. Koine, the Greek word sophia and synesis. One means to understand first principles, and the other means to know how to apply them. So we kind of move from sophia to synesis in this report. And as we do, we begin by interviewing the men discussed in the data section so that you can get a fuller grasp of their story. Beyond the interview, we quickly go into knowing again that you need to cut through that and say, okay, so what did they learn? I mean, if you're so busy you can't get through the interviews, then move right to the lessons. And frankly, there are the steps summarized from each person as to the lessons learned from their research and from their work. Now, typically at this point, if you're thinking about your own program, questions start rising up that are more particular, more specific in terms of the nuts and bolts. And that's where you see now that we've begun to lay out for you software providers that we have worked with and tested, along with some definitions. And then we actually get into what I would suggest is the piece of material that you would take and delegate to somebody on your team. If you're the marketing director and you actually have a support staff, the next 2 sections here are designed to be able to help you move step by step through the process of setting up a good program. There's a 25-step executive summary, and that's something worth surveying and just getting a feel for. That gives you the overall picture. And then there is a specific blueprint that was developed by Jeff Sellers. And I might add that Jeff reviewed a lot of other people's information, particularly a book that was done by one of the marketing coordinators at my affiliate program. And I want to make sure that no one expects that this entire blueprint is original from us. Give credit to everybody else who participated. They are listed in the resources section of this report. But if you go on, here's a step-by-step blueprint. Now, I think you know this, but on the first half of the report that we just clicked on at the top of every report is a PDF that allows you to download a printable version of this journal. What you should probably do is print the report, and then you can take a section like this and give it to your staff to implement, or you can use it yourself if you don't have that kind of staff support. And there is the blueprint laid out step by step with all the subpoints so that you can understand it. I would also say that right at the end of this, we just cut to the, again, trying to summarize everything. We ask the final question that's kind of critical. So what's the most important lessons that we've learned? And we lay our top 10 out here. And then we get into resources. Now, when we do a research project, we have to conduct a full literature review so that when we speak to you, we have made sure that we've also seen what's already out there. We're not just duplicating the other efforts. And so also that we can learn. And so we do an extensive review, and then we break it down into categories for you. In this case, I think it's like 108 or 100 and some resources. I believe it was 108 that we've rated. The ratings are totally subjective, so you need to know that. But they're designed to help you, to some degree, cut through the long list. And we break it down into sections, guides, books, directories, etc., etc. I think really the links themselves are worth the whole report. If somebody's trying to find out, you know, the information they need, it's all there. But then when you add to that our interpretation, hopefully there's something of value that will help you. So I think I've spoken rather rapidly because I didn't want to spend all this time on the reports. I certainly am not trying to make the journal look good. I just wondered if people really understand how to grasp and use these reports to their full advantage. And I thought it might be useful to do that. And I think it's probably the first thing we need to understand if we're going to craft a good affiliate program, and that's how to use this research. So, you know, you have the design, you have our data, the blueprints, the resources, but the question then is, all right, now, if I have the data and I have the how-to, what else do I need that will really help me to ensure that I'm successful? And I think that one of the most intelligent things a person can do when they're trying to understand a new endeavor is to find a model, both good and bad, and to really find what was working in that model. And that's why we had the interviews with these gentlemen that are here with us today. And I think that by gleaning insights from them, you can save yourself so much trouble. And I'm going to make a statement that, based on my own experience, I'm not going to tell you that I have any data to back it up. But I have found that, personally, if I start when I'm moving into any new field by identifying the proper models, I can typically cut my learning curve by 70%. So it's one of the first things that I do in any area that I'm studying. And so with that in mind, we have Jalali Hartman online. And Jalali is co-founder of Infopia.com. It's an online marketplace that, according to my last notes, reaches more than 200 million buyers, and with product listings valued at $2 billion. Jalali, I'm going to oversimplify. No, I'm not. I want you to tell us in a moment kind of the paragraph of what Infopia does before we get into the affiliate side, just so that people understand, you know, the intelligence of your system. And so we've been working, studying the data from Infopia and working with Infopia now for some time. I don't know, Jalali, has it been 2 years maybe?
Yeah, it's been at least 2 years.
And it's been an experience that's been very positive, and Jalali's become a close friend, and he has great integrity, and I'm glad to have him online. So I'm going to let Jalali go ahead and give you, first of all, Jalali, I'm going to kind of guide you by asking you some various questions along the way, but
okay.
I'm going to let other people jump in with questions. So okay. Jalali, first of all, just give us an overview of what Infopia does.
Infopia, our main product is a product called Marketplace Manager, and it was designed for the retailer who wants to sell products through multiple online channels. So we're tied in with eBay and Amazon and Yahoo and Google and so on. What we had started an affiliate program for some years ago was essentially for a self-service model where someone could come and sign up and use our application, and that's what that's what the report that I submitted was about.
Yes. And Jalali's got a lot of experience across the net, not just with your own affiliate program, but with other programs you've been involved with. What do you think is the greatest frustration that people have on the net with affiliate marketing right now, Jalali?
Greatest frustration. Just in my own experience in using other people's affiliate programs, as well as running an affiliate program for ourselves, was the biggest problem that I've seen is the job of the affiliate is to send traffic and generate leads and generate sales for the marketer, and it's a common problem that I've seen that the conversion of the actual product offering, so if it's a product you're selling or if it's a service you're offering or if you're just trying to get a new lead, that mechanism typically is not as well optimized as it could be. So what happens is the affiliates go out and they do everything they can. They send emails and put banners on their sites and send links over, and it never results in anything because on the other end, the websites aren't optimized to sort of capitalize on that traffic, and so no one ends up making any money. The affiliates spend a lot of time setting up links on their site. They have high hopes of, earning commissions and earning, per lead fees and so on, and it just never happens. And that's definitely what happened with us.
Our data said that you had basically, based on the partners you had lined up, you had a customer base of 5.1, almost 5.2 million. And that you assumed, which is very logical, that over time at least 2% of these would register for your service, and that an average monthly bill rate of $35 then would generate about $3.6 million a month.
Yes.
What worked out? What happened, July?
Well, what worked really well was actually getting the partners. We had a team of business development people that went out and established co-marketing relationships with all the major payment gateways, hosting companies. That's where we get the customers from. Where it started to break down was just what I was talking about, and they started to send us a lot of traffic, and we still do get traffic from these partners. But nobody. Two things happened: either people would sign up for our service, try it for a month or two, and then quit because they didn't understand how it worked or it didn't work for them, or they would come to our site and simply bounce off. In which case, they probably weren't going to come back again. They weren't going to be as receptive to follow-on marketing, email sends and additional promotions by our partners. And what ended up happening was, because over time these partners didn't really make any money off of this program, they just sort of the marketing efforts died down, email stopped getting sent, they pulled the banners off their sites, and it was sort of over before it even started.
Yeah. Does anyone have questions for Darlene? Feel free to jump in with questions.
I didn't catch the name of the actual website. You say it over, but I don't understand what you're saying. It sounds like sort of utopia and then infobia. What is it that you're actually saying?
It's
a numbered link. Just okay. Jalali, you can answer her, but it is link number 3.
Okay.
On your research log notes. Go ahead, Jalali.
Okay, and the name of the company is Infopia, Infopia, and it means information utopia.
Okay.
And the name of the product is Marketplace Manager, and you can see that when you go there.
Okay, I did get that part. Okay.
Infopia is one of the survivors of the .com crash, and they were bloodied. It hurt them, I can say, from the standpoint, raising additional capital and all of that, like it hurt everyone. But they have managed to hang in through all of that and continue to refine their offering. And they've refined and changed their offering dramatically as time has passed. It's still the same core skill, but they've had to learn. And I think Jalali brings up something which is probably the most important thing that I've learned about affiliate marketing in all of my research. I'd like to say that for you now. I may not have any, I've got a list of other things afterwards, and Nick's going to talk with us, and Jalali still has things, but I may not be able to say anything that has more value because I'm just not smart enough. This is probably the most important principle that I've learned about affiliate marketing. That is, we cannot think about gaining affiliates unless we correctly, unless we view it, our program, through the eyes of the affiliates themselves. We have to step outside of our skin, and we have to climb into theirs and ask ourselves, why would I want this program? What will it do for me? How will it help me? It amazes me how human nature is such that we process everything through our own self-interests, and in doing so, we fail to see what it's really going to produce in the long run, because we cannot climb inside the skin of the other person and ask ourselves, what would I want if I were in their shoes? And if that sounds a bit like a trite, let me give you an example. I read in our own report, based on our interview with somebody who's very respected in this area, not the gentleman that's on the phone right now, he said that affiliates want, you know, his program didn't work, and he said he learned that they want higher commission percentages. Now, that is a statement that's very critical, that he learned, and he learned it the hard way by having a program that he spent money on and that he lost money on. My question for you is, how many of you would agree with that? Somebody on the, give me feedback for a moment, because I'm going to show you how to think about that issue. How many of you would, if you would agree, just give me a verbal on the telephone that what affiliates want, one of the things that's very critical to them is to have a high commission. Would you agree with that, or would you disagree?
I would disagree.
High commission percentage.
I'd agree.
I disagree. Did you say agree?
I did.
Keep talking.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree. I had people turn me down because it wasn't high enough at 20%. We're going to change it to 40% or 50%.
I disagree a little bit, because I think it's more important that they want to make money. It doesn't, if they make high commissions but they're not converting well, what good does that do? I mean, what they want is to make money, to be profitable.
Now that, I believe, and you know, I really honestly directly think that that is the point that I'm trying to make. And that is that many of us angst over, are we paying them not enough? Are we paying them enough? It isn't the size of the percentage, it's the size of the check. And the reality is there are many of them out there now offering 50%, 60%, 70%.
Yeah.
And they're still not making money, so it doesn't matter. All that might do is get the click or get them in the program. But the real question is, and here's where we really start to see this principle applied. If you or your own affiliate, can you make money with it? And let me tell you why you might not be able to. And let me tell you what the number one problem with most affiliate programs is. In order to succeed in the marketplace, you need a value proposition. There's two parts to that. One of them is the why part, and let me explain that. Value proposition, we've all heard the word, but to make it very clear, why should I buy from you instead of anyone else? Now, you need a reason. If you don't have that answer, then you don't really haven't justified your existence in the marketplace. And in a perfect market, you would disappear, cannibalize. Because the reality is people should buy from, they should do what's best for themselves if they know what's best for themselves. And you happen to be out there, and if you're not what's best for yourself, for them, and they buy from you, you just got lucky. You're thriving on pockets of ignorance. What you need if you're going to survive in the marketplace is a reason for people to buy from you instead of someone else. It may be that you match somebody on all points, but on one point, you're better. And on that point, you define a market around your business. It may be that you have the lowest price. You go to Walmart, the service is bad, the price is low, it's okay. People go, they'll stand in line, they'll wait, they get a better price. Now, in a geographic world, it's okay. Sometimes you can have a weak value proposition because there's another one that has to do with your location. You will drive up the street 3 blocks to Ace, spend $2 more for your part because you don't want to drive 10 miles to Office Depot or Home Depot. But the minute Home Depot is close to Ace, Ace is destroyed unless they change the model, and they have changed it. Now, most of us know about the why factor, but if you haven't, you need to ask that hard about your business. And I'll tell you why it's so critical in affiliate programs, because the truth is, when you've got 100 people selling the same thing, how in the world is number 99 going to do as well as number one? And why is not the only issue? The other issue is force. And this is something we've been pioneering here. I've never read anything on it. But some value propositions have much greater force than others. If I were to have a product right now that would grow hair on men on their and secure baldness, I wouldn't have to worry much about marketing. I'd have to worry about fulfillment. I'd be overwhelmed. That is a value proposition that also has great force. By force, there's an intrinsic appeal that has automatic market demand. Viagra had that. Now we're getting market saturation moving through the typical macroeconomic cycle. But a good value proposition has force, and it has reason, the why part. And so one of the things you have to be careful about when you take your product and you wholesale it, when I say wholesale, I don't really mean wholesale, but I mean you basically, you carbon copy your offering and send it out there with 500 affiliates, is unless they're distinctive, themselves reaching a unique channel that you're not reaching, what good are you really doing for them? And if you can't make money as an affiliate, how in the world do we expect them to make money as an affiliate? And candidly, at the Journal, we're still learning the answer to that. One of the things that we found with our own affiliate program is that we have to shorten the sales cycle. We were set up comfortably so that we don't even make an offer for someone to join the lab until after we have the email address on the free subscription site normally. And that might mean that somebody's a free subscriber for 1 to 3 months before we collect any revenue. We're fine with that. We didn't need the revenue. We were set up so that we could run that way. But when we started bringing certain strategic partners in, one of the things we're doing the last 60 days is we're shortening that cycle because we want to serve them well. And they can't wait 3 months, but they don't want to. Now, I'm going to stop talking, but I felt like that was important to talk about. Jalali, how would you comment on that? And tell me, I know that you've said some things in the report, but tell me what you would do today if you were setting up an affiliate program from scratch for your company fresh with your company's product offering right now.
If I was starting from scratch, what I would do is I would first, like you said, become my own affiliate, and probably through Google AdWords or one of these fairly easy to measure advertising channels, I would test how much it's costing me per lead and per click, and sort of like you're doing with the lab, track, you know, how long does it take before there's actual revenue generated. And I would spend a lot of time getting that process defined. And then I would probably even wait again, get a few key partners, people that I knew that I could work with and maybe adjust things with, and make sure it's working for them, and then go out to the world and put the put the high incentives in place, and probably even take the approach of just make sure that I was breaking even at least for the first year or so on it, just to gain affiliates, put a real lucrative offer in place, and then sort of let things run. But unfortunately for us, we've gone out to a lot of sort of our ideal partners already, and they've tried this, and basically it didn't work for them. No one made any money on it, and so it's difficult to go back again. So if I could start fresh, I would make sure that it worked first before I even put it out in the marketplace.
Very smart. Very smart. But I would also add one step to that. I would think that, in particular if you have a service offering, but even with a retail offering, I would think about matching affiliates that I approve, because I would approve my affiliates, to channels that you're not in. I'm doing this for the New York Times right now. We're launching a program for them. And we're identifying associations like the American Medical Association and so on, and we're customizing the news tracker service offerings specifically for them and then turning them into affiliates. But what we're doing is we're giving each affiliate channels that they're in so they have significant revenue potential automatically built into the model. Jalali, your points are well taken. Does anybody have questions for Jalali? And I want to bring Nick in, and then we can talk to both of these guys in a little bit as well. But does anybody have any questions for Jalali right now? Okay. Let me talk to you about Nick. Nick, is his website, if you want to check it out, is number 2 on your links, musclemaster.com. I'll let him describe his business to you. Let me just give you a little bit of information on Nick that I think you might find helpful. In fact, on your research notes, there's a brief bio. He's co-founder of Muscle Master. They sell more than 200,000 health-related2,000 health-related products, including nutritional supplements, weight loss products, anti-aging products, vitamins, minerals, and fitness. And they have about 120 brands, and they've grown at a rate of 75 to 100% per year. And their affiliate program has been, I think, quite successful. They tried two versions of it. The first version, they had, according to the numbers I have here, if these are correct, about 10,000 affiliates, 500 were active, and they generated $600,000. They changed their program, or they may have changed it, but they offered what's called a full e-commerce partnership program, which is basically an affiliate program where there's a lot more attention given to each partner. And the total number of partners is only 50. They generated $6.5 million, I think, either this year or projected this year from those 50. So having said that, Nick, why don't you jump on the line and tell us a little bit about your program. One of the things that I want to ask you, Nick, is what is it that you're doing for your affiliates to help them be successful?
Yep. I think the answer to that question, Flint, is we, as you alluded to briefly, with just the 50 affiliates, we pay a whole lot more attention to all the individual affiliates. And one of the things we did do up front, because before we even got into affiliate marketing at all, we were just strictly a retailer on our MuscleMaster.com site selling directly to end users. And I think one of the key things we did after we initially use some of the third-party affiliate software such as BeFree and Commission Junction, which we do still use a little successfully to an extent these days. But one of the things that we really did was we put ourselves in the shoes of the affiliate, and we saw the frustrations the affiliates were having, and what I call the wasted traffic they were generating to our site that wasn't converting as well as they'd like, and the fact that they weren't getting reported or rewarded for repeat sales. So we really, I think, looked at all of those faults, and we said, well, we really need to design a program that's gonna work and that's gonna really reward our affiliates long term. So we essentially, through our full e-commerce partnership, set up a program where affiliates could. I don't even call them affiliates. I call them partners because they have
their. I hate
their,
the word. It's yeah. Been run. Right.
Yeah, I don't like that word at all. That's why I'm so gung ho on the word of partners, because we let our partners have their own websites, do their custom branding, and we've created all the technology and tools for them to be able to create a custom website that can then add a lot of value, and they can use our content, they can use our email marketing letters, they can use all the tools we've developed to market effectively to their affiliates and make their own sites very sticky and very customized. And then we've provided all the back-end tools to allow all the orders that flow through to be automatically sent through to the fulfillment system, where we can then seamlessly fulfill the orders and do it totally on what I call a blind basis, where we totally brand their site and their name on everything that goes out to their customers. So I think that's at a high level what's made us successful so far.
Let's walk through a scenario together. Let's pretend that I'm coming into your site and I want to become a partner and I'm serious about it. I want to become part of the program. Tell me what happens. I complete a form, and let's walk right through it together and let people see how you what your process is.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, essentially when with this program, I mean, I'll be very honest that this is, we view the full e-commerce partnership as a very serious program, and we're looking for people who are serious and share our enthusiasm for health and fitness and for e-marketing. So we do go through a bit of a screening process up front to you know, ascertain that, that the party we're working with, you know, does have, you know, some level of resources to do what's necessary to grow their business. You know, there are some startup fees involved. But what we're really trying to figure out up front, you know, more than anything, is how passionate are the affiliates or the partners about joining us and growing with us. So we do a little bit of, you know, introductory chat. We talk a little bit about what their goals are, what their business plan is. You know, we talk about how they're planning to market their site, and we can give them some advice on that. And then we talk about what they're planning to use for an e-commerce platform, because we do develop, as you know, Flint, we do develop Yahoo stores for a number of our partners because we find it to be a very, very stable and nice platform to work on, especially for either existing or starting up sites.
You build the Yahoo store for them.
Yes.
And then you populate it. Do you populate the products, and do you do the fulfillment for the products?
Yes. Yeah, so exactly. If we build a Yahoo store for a partner, we'll completely populate it. We'll completely give it a look and feel, and work with the partner to figure out what they want the site to look like. And we do what I really call the first generation of the site, and give it a good look and set up the automation. So then, as orders come in each day, we actually will fully run that store for the partners. We have a customized what we call order manager software that we've developed that logs into each of our Yahoo stores that we do fulfillment for each day. It extracts the orders out, and then we're able to provide a number of fraud checking mechanisms to make sure the orders are good to fulfill. And then our order manager then sends those orders through to our fulfillment system where we do the fulfillment. And the other thing that works real well is that through the whole process, the partner is only, you know, either paying for a product or, you know, earning a commission as sales occur. So there's no real working capital required by our partners up front to join our program, but yet they get the benefits of being able to offer 2,000 products and do it on their own website, plus build their own customer database.
Okay. Now, I'm going to need to hear from some people that are on the phone with me, because I have clearly a set of notes laid out. I have the reports that you've already talked about, and we have experts on the phone that can help you. And I have a track. I'm ready to speak with these men about 10 key things. But please tell me, some of you speak up and tell me you logged on to this call today. Why? What is it you're trying to learn? What caused you to take the time out of your day to attend this conference? Give me that information if you could. Give me some feedback so we make sure that we're shaping this conference in a way that's really serving you.
Hi. I think my reason for logging on is how to obtain and motivate affiliates / super affiliates and give them the tools that they need to stick it out and be able to convert and, you know, build up their site.
Is your product, you don't have to be specific, but is it a service or is it a software?
It's a software.
Or is it?
It's a software.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is it high dollar or is it?
No.
You know,
no, it's low dollar.
Low dollar. All right. Somebody else tell me what caused you to log in today.
I have one, and that is I'm very curious as to what kinds of tools we can develop to provide to our affiliates that generate the highest overall return. So whether it's e-marketing or, say, flash sales pieces or whatever that may happen to be.
Excellent.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Somebody else.
Yes. We're trying to get our business up and running. And although the both of us have a great deal of corporate knowledge, it's different when we are in our careers as opposed to being home and trying to bring up our own internet business. We're both hands-on learning, per se, type people. And when we have to correspond via email or via the telephone, we're just really not getting it. And we were hoping that we could maybe pick up some sort of clue from this, because, as I've said, this is fine, and what you're saying, I agree with 100%. But as soon as I get off the phone and I go to attempt to do it, my mind goes to the ozone. Yet if I'm in my own office doing what I need to do, there's not a problem. But trying to do it for myself just seems to, well, both of us seem to have a great deal of difficulty, so we're just trying to get something that shows us we're on the right track and how to make a go of it.
I want to answer that for just a second, but I want to hear from a couple more people, and then we're going to go right back into the conference.
Certainly.
To some practicals for you. But what you've said is a problem that we have with a conference like this, and that on the one end, we may have somebody here who is an expert and has significant background in this area, and then the other hand, we have somebody that's new and trying to define on our end what content is going to help them all is difficult, though we have some comfort in thinking the report is there and it has a great deal of data, even the blueprint to help you walk through and start. One of the things that I'm really thinking about doing this year differently in 2004 is when we release a major report, not just popping them out every 30 days, it takes 4 to 6 weeks to summarize 6 to 10 months worth of research and to build a strong, solid report. And then once we release it, you know, we send it and then we have the conference, but I don't feel like we're using our data enough. We work so hard to get to help enough people. We use it with our research partners, but we don't, you know, there's not many people that can do that. So we're thinking about offering like our last conference was on Google, the next one's coming up on email. We're thinking of offering like a 4 to 6 session tutorial where we actually put somebody in a conference, a small group, not more than maybe 10 people, maybe 20 at the most, with an expert who works with them over a period of 4 to 6 weeks to roll out the suggestions that we're making to build the blueprint, and it's very participatory. And if you miss one because your schedule doesn't allow you, you can still get the recording, download it, the notes, and continue, almost like a class course, but basically it's hands-on clinic, implement the things we're talking about. For instance, if it's an email campaign that we've been teaching about, then helping you write your copy, helping you lay it out so that it's going to be most effective, showing you how to set up your test design so that you can actually test the emails correctly, and spending more tutorial time. Would that be useful to you guys?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think so, yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. Is it useful? I guess what I'm trying to ask is if we add that to our value proposition, does that have a lot of force, moderate force? Is that better than just the reports and the conferences?
That's definitely an enhancement.
Anybody give me a comment?
Definitely.
A big force, yes.
Dr. McLaughlin, I think the information that you provide is very valuable. And what you just described would make it incredibly impossible to not apply what you've just heard. And that would be incredible value.
That's good to hear. All right, I'll make a note of that. All right, and some of you, when you might want to click *4 and turn your volume up. Some of you I can hear clearly. Some of you are a little harder to hear. The last couple of people that spoke, I think it was a little harder to hear. So what I've summarized from this is the tools, and then to serve them well so they can prosper, and then how to find them and motivate them, and then someone else talking about just the basics of this. Somebody else, let's just have one more person weigh in. Why did you tune into this phone call?
Well, I joined.
Anybody else have feedback?
I joined because I hoped I could find a way of getting hold of some better affiliates. The ones, the 90% of the ones I have now, and I didn't have many, not performing very well. It's just the top 10% are performing.
Yes.
Isn't that something that's pretty typical in terms of affiliate programs, or am I wrong?
Let me ask, I was getting ready to ask if the gentleman could turn his phone up, hit the *4 button, or speak a little louder. I had a difficulty hearing that. I'm in London, by the way.
Oh, my.
Congratulations, I wish I was. Spent 5 years there.
So I'm right here right now at the University of London doing some research, and so I'm not, it might be just my phone connection, but somebody, could I either rephrase his question or if he could speak a little louder so I could address that. Go ahead.
That was me, I think. Can you hear me better?
Just a little bit better.
Okay.
Try again. I'll try to listen.
I joined in because I hope to find a way of getting better affiliates, better performing affiliates, because at the moment, about only about 10% of them perform decently, and 5% adequately.
Hi, Jeremy. I just want to chime in here real quick on that one. The data we've done and the research we've done has shown mostly that what you're looking at is you're actually doing pretty good at 10% active affiliates. You're going to get roughly about 10 to 15% of your affiliates will be even active, and only maybe 1 or 2% will actually really do really well. So, I mean, you're actually right in line with the regular affiliate program. As far as
so
encouraging
for a regular affiliate program, that's correct. And let me, I think this it would be very helpful to point something out to you that you might want to think about doing. One of your most important jobs when you're trying to figure out how to maximize your affiliate program is to figure out where to allocate your energies. Now, you can allocate your energies all day long trying to get the inactive people active and trying to get the weak people strong, or you can allocate your energies on the strong people, making them stronger. I advocate the latter. As Peter Drucker said, business is not about doing things right, it's about doing the right things. And typically, you want to allocate your energies so that you maximize strengths, not minimize weakness. So I'm not saying that you just totally forget that other group, but I would say the upper percentage of those who are performing are the ones that probably deserve the most of your attention. And then the question comes up, well, how do we help them? And I think I'd like to focus on that. I think I'd like to focus the remaining part of this few minutes on two questions. Where do we find them? How do we get them to do be more effective? And I'm going to do that in reverse order, and because I think the first one is how do we get them to be more effective? And let's, Nick and Jalali, I'd like you to jump in with me. I'm going to just so briefly take you to a link that is on your, it's numbered link number 4. Link number 4. And Jeff Sellers, you're on the line? Jeff?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Jeff works with us, and I want to show you what we've been learning by showing you the things that we're doing to help affiliates. And then I want to see what, you know, we've heard a little bit about what Nick is doing. Nick is identifying, you know, affiliates with great potential, and he's going so far as to help them build and develop their store or their site, and he's populating their products and he's fulfilling the orders. May I point out that that's especially important on Nick's part, because by fulfilling the orders, he takes away the problems of them getting bad ratings on, say, Yahoo. And on Yahoo, your 5-star rating can be a significant source of your traffic. 17 million shoppers go in there. The higher your stars, the higher you are in the search engine, in the Yahoo shopping search engine. And so by doing that, Nick's not only protecting the perception of his brand, but he's helping him to do better because he's making sure the orders go out and they go on time. That's huge.
Yeah, it really is, Flint, because we're virtually 5-star rated across the board for all the stores that we service.
That's a very important point. All right, if you went to the link that we just talked about, then you should see several things that we are doing right now. And Jeff, just take a moment and explain the ways that we're working with the affiliates currently to try and strengthen them, the tools that we're bringing in line. Go ahead, Jeff.
One of the first things that we do after approving an affiliate application is we recommend in an automated email that goes to them saying that they've been approved to go into the admin panel on our program and immediately download a text link or a banner graphic, and they have several of those to choose from. We follow that up with a one-on-one phone call from myself that actually, after reviewing their site and seeing what they're all about, recommends what we feel will be the best suitable promotion to them for their site. And that's just a recommendation. I have worked with the team, and we've put together an actual web page that shows all of our promotions that they are more than welcome to use, but we make the recommendations up front. We've kind of categorized those, as you see, in 5 different areas, whether it be shared content or several different forms of subscription forms, co-branded reports, which is a journal report that we share the masthead on and things like that in select cases. And then also, one of the things that we're finding very popular is to include a promotion with an e-zine or a mailing or in-house promotion. That seems to be a real popular one right now. So we've offered many, many options, but we didn't have all those options at the launch of our program. We've actually drawn feedback from affiliates and asked what they want, and several of them have come back to us and said, you know what, we really would like to do this. And all of these have evolved from that, or some of those have evolved from that, but to give us kind of a robust offering for what they might be looking for in a pro, on a promotion basis.
And let me just comment on these to help you visualize them and show you how they would apply even to you, even if you're a retailer. For one thing, many potential affiliates have an easing list. One of the first things you should have is a set of questions that you ask a potential affiliate. And one of the things you want to find out right away is how large of mailing lists do they have? Permission-based, house-grown mailing lists. That helps you immediately prioritize how much attention this person should get from you. Because you have to do that. What you concentrate on will grow. And many of you have affiliates out there who have an easing list, and personally getting involved so that your product is being promoted within their easing is a great way to get a return on energy in terms of investment. The co-branded reports, those are very select, but like right now we're in the midst of launching, we're in discussions with the Times, they're a research partner, we grew their business, and now we're going to publicly launch an edition of the journal with the New York Times in the financial markets. Obviously that gets a lot of attention. It's an example of the way we focus with it very carefully with a key partner and then grow them. Shared content allows people to take content from our site. And Brian has written extensively on how to do that, and it's in the research logs. By the way, the research logs that you're using right now, use the search feature. If you type in syndication, it'll pop up every reference to that. Over to your Google, I don't think a lot of our members are using the search feature, and it's a really great tool. You'll pull up all kinds of relevant research as we basically keep that as a running log on some of our research. But what we're doing is allowing content from our site to be placed on their site, but we're controlling that content with syndication feeds so that we can change it, make it fresh, improve it, and increase it. Now that's a really powerful way to improve your results. So those are things, and we could go into more, but I think that's enough to give you an idea. And those things are things that you can do even as a retailer as opposed to a publisher. Jalali or Nick, have you got any other things that you might suggest in terms of tools that will help an affiliate in a special way that you've discovered that you either have or that you wish you had?
This is Nick. One of the things that we did, I don't think I mentioned earlier, is we developed a special partner site that we give all of our partners access to. And on that partner site, we publish all of our databases, we publish our newsletter content, we have an article database, we publish, you know, updates all the time as to, you know, discontinued or new items and things like that. So we've tried to empower our partners with as much information as possible, and it's constantly changing. And the other thing that I think a lot of you folks use is we use email to communicate quite a bit to our affiliates to give them updates. Like in my industry, being a nutritional supplement, things change all the time, and there's a lot of legislative things going on these days with the federal products and things like that. So we're just constantly communicating to our partners so then they can use that information to pass on to their own customers, and we find that there's tremendous value in doing that.
Excellent. Joel, you have anything to add to that?
I would just say make sure that you as the marketer have control over the content. We still, even almost 3 years later, we're finding things out on the web that advertising prices that aren't correct, messaging that's wrong. And that was one of the big mistakes we made is we didn't set up a system where we could update content. We allowed people to hard code things into their sites and so on. And that's been
excellent.
A problem for us.
Yeah, it's a very good point. It's one of the things that we were concerned about, especially with the journal, because of to keep protecting the brand. And so that's why we went to the syndication option. I think that's a very good point, Jalali. Very good point. And by the way, one of the things to help your affiliates grow, and now I'm at the risk of shameless promotion, if you're in retail, and you think your affiliates are sophisticated enough, get them to subscribe to the journal. Get them the information, especially the blueprint. The blueprint that we update regularly, it's completely new in there right now, lays out a step-by-step 10 month plan, basically, that you can follow it sequentially if you'd like, and ties it all into each one of our reports and articles. And that's a very useful tool to give to an affiliate to get them, you know, they ask, what do I do now? The other question, I'm going to try to take these last 5 minutes, and guys, if you'll forgive me, I'm going to pack right up to the last minute all the information I can in for you. What can we do to attract quality affiliates? And Nick, where are your best affiliates coming from?
Interestingly, this will sound a little funny, but a lot of my best affiliates have come from competitors of mine on the web. Because when we developed our program, the operating mantra I used was I wanted to co-opt my competition, because we were taking, you know, a group of products that were out there and that many different people were starting to sell, and we came up with what I consider to be a real value proposition in allowing, you know, competitors of mine to actually use my platform and my technology to better serve their own customers. And the whole, you know, approach we took is, you know, we're not greedy people. We're willing to share our technology as long as we can form a mutually beneficial partnership. So I've found my absolute best partners have been competitors of mine on the web. And at first, it's a big sell to sell it, say to people, why should I partner up with MuscleMaster.com, because you compete against me. And then when I really take them through the benefits of our program and what our goals are long term, and how there's something in it for them, it really made a lot of sense. So it's kind of funny, sometimes the most obvious thing is right under your nose.
Well, one of our readers, we conducted some research with, and he was coming a competitor of Nick's as we were getting ready to build him in the Clyde powerhouse through our research. But I knew Nick. Then I sent him to talk with Nick, and basically Nick turned him into an affiliate program. So now if we build him, it builds Nick, which was a bit Machiavellian and evil, I think, really, if you think about it. But he pulled it off.
Yeah, and I thank you for that, Flint.
Listen, let me tell you the number one way to get good affiliates. Without a doubt, it is to take those few affiliates that you have right now that have any promise and concentrate your energies and do something right and help them to be successful, and the word will spread. 5 are better than 50. Take the top 5 you've got right now and make them highly successful, and you won't have a problem finding affiliates because the word will get out. Nothing will work better for you than working better for them. And I think that's a source. Now, I will tell you that another great place to do that is in smart utilization of publishing, writing, articles, well-placed articles, case history, the case history on your affiliate program done by Ann at Marketing Sherpa. That'll bring affiliates in for you. Get your story out. Make your time is running out for me, but make sure that you don't have a marketing message. Make sure you have a marketing story. People remember and reframe and hang their ideas and talk about stories. They don't talk about messages. Kierkegaard, the philosopher, learned a long time ago the most important things are communicated indirectly. Turn your marketing message into a marketing story, then take that story and put it on the street. You can get affiliates that way. All right, now I'm going to end this call by zipping through the 10 most important things we've learned. I'm just going to hit them fast to give you as much power as I can in the last few moments. Number one, focus, focus, focus. Forget the scattergun approach. Discover the profile of effective affiliate. Search for that profile and concentrate your resources on helping them. Number two, 5 relationships at work are better than 50 that don't. Bill Carnegie, some of you recall the quote we said from Carnegie, you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you. Number three, serving affiliates requires more than sending a link. Give them multiple ways to maximize your opportunity and continually add to that menu of options. Number four, communicate with your affiliates often. Help to educate them. Consider doing a web conference with your affiliates. Number five, a poor affiliate program is worse than no affiliate program. A weak affiliate program diminishes your reputation in the marketplace. Going on, sometimes your most demanding affiliates are your best affiliates. Balance potential against aggravation. You don't want an army, you want a special forces unit. Going on. If you can't make money with your offering, don't expect them to. Don't promise more than you can deliver. And lastly, in a space where value propositions define market dominance, ask yourself how 1,000 people selling the same product can differentiate their own offer. Folks, that is the affiliate program conference. Do you have you found this helpful? Has this been worth your time?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, Flynn.
Okay. All right, good. I appreciate your trust, and we're working hard on the email issues. If you have questions about any of this, email us. If you have thoughts about the email issue that we're working on in our research reports or data, let us know on that. And thank you very much, and I will talk to you later. It is 8 p.m. here in sunny London.
Dinner time.
You have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.